Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
We return with Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Find the conspiracy every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Rumble and Rockfin. And now let's take the opportunity to go back in time. You know, tomorrow is, of course, the anniversary of Doctor Who, the 60th anniversary of Doctor Who. Tom Baker has been dominating Twitter. It's been out of control, 90 years old. The guy's unbelievable. All sorts of quotes during the time period when Doctor Who was pretty much run by libertarians back in the 70s. Very, very cool. And they even mentioned on the episode, The Android Invasion, the Doctor has a long association with libertarian causes. And that was done in like 1978. So let's go back even further in time, however. Let's go back now to, yes, not just the era of Star Trek, but even earlier than that. It's time for us to explore with Chris Graves, our Mind Meld guest, the assassination of John F. Kennedy Jr. John F. Kennedy, sir.
I must try to mind meld with it. I know what you know.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen. He is with us. He is the mighty, the awesome, the honest Chris Graves. Welcome to the program. Chris, I hope I'm not bringing you in too late, my man. I know you've got a really busy night tonight, and you can't even be with us straight up through to 8 o'clock. You've got so many things happening. Thank you, and welcome to the show once more, my friend. How you doing, buddy?
I love you, man. This is great.
Thanks, man. Thank you. And again, my apologies on that text. I want to say this on the air, folks. I went to text Chris last night, and for some reason, I guess I didn't send the text. I went to sleep. I had this whole long thing, and it didn't even send until like this afternoon. Chris, great to have you here. If I can, Chris, I'd like to start things off tonight, and feel free if you have a different idea. But I'd like to start things off by reading a little something from a piece that I got from the Future Freedom Foundation from 2013, and it comes to us via Tim Kelly. He's a columnist. He's a policy advisor with the Future Freedom Foundation. He's been involved with all sorts of things with radio. He's a political cartoonist as well. So he wrote, "Why Was JFK Assassinated?" And he goes through a lot of things about RFK Jr., and so on and so forth. Then he says, what has made many question the Warren Commission's credibility is the fact that it was largely controlled by former CIA director Alan Dulles. Oh, and what a class act he was. President Kennedy had ousted Dulles as director of the CIA in 1961 after the failed Bay of Pigs invasion. And as you brought up last time you were here with those wonderful ships, Zapata, and Barbara. I don't know what they could be referring to. Kennedy had also reportedly voiced his intention to splinter the CIA in 1,000 pieces and scatter it to the winds. From the moment of its release in 1964, the Warren Report became a target of criticism, owing largely to such difficulties as its single bullet theory, which appeared to twist the laws of physics. As Mark Lane, a pioneer in JFK assassination research, noted, quote, "The only way you can believe the report is not to have read it," end quote. Another reason to doubt the report's conclusions is Oswald's apparent connections to the U.S. intelligence community, an important detail not mentioned in the report's 889 pages. After all, if Oswald was a low-level intelligence agent, as a large body of evidence suggests, is it reasonable to believe he was the lone nut assassin of Warren Commission legend? But even if Oswald was the gunman and was able to get off two miraculously accurate shots, he didn't have the power to withdraw the police motorcycle escorts or to order the Secret Service to stand down or to alter the testimony of funeral home staff who received the body. The Warren Commission never explained these systemic breakdowns that left the president vulnerable and the chain of evidence questionable. Chris Graves, welcome to the show, my friend. Good to have you here. Any thoughts on that? And what are some of the first things that come to mind here on the 60th anniversary of that day when JFK was assassinated?
Well, Tim Kelly is absolutely correct. Oswald didn't have the power to change the parade route. You know, the very risky, very wide turn onto Elm Street by William Greer, the driver. He also couldn't have had William Greer step on the brakes for about 2 to 4 seconds between whoever you asked back then, well over 100 witnesses to that limo stop. That's not in the extant, is that how you pronounce it? The in existence Zapruder film as we have it today. You don't see that limo stop, but over 100 witnesses in the plaza were witness to that. And you can actually see it in some of the footage from the Orville Nix film from across the street, the opposite direction of Abraham Zapruder. You can see the brake light goes on. But even other people, I mean, that's not a popular thing to bring up with the JFK community research people. The idea that all these other films besides the Zapruder film could have been tampered with, even though the owners of said films that I'm mentioning had said that their films were returned, but not how they originally were.
Yeah.
Even Orville Nix's granddaughter, who I've tried to get on, I protest with Donald Jeffries a couple times, and even my own shows. She sued the government to get the untampered Orville Nix film back. And
was she successful?
Not really. No.
Of course. So much. Of course. Yeah. And I know. And by the way, let's mention Chris. Chris Graves is our guest, folks, here on Liberty Conspiracy. How can people find you? The best way to find you, Chris. And your work, by the way, especially your Rumble channel, your Twitter feed, and that sort of thing.
Well, I'm at C. Graves Mask Guy. If you want to find me, I'm there. And I have a Rumble channel. It's Digging Chris Graves, and that's the only place you're going to find my work out there. And please support it, and I appreciate everyone who has supported it. And it's under Digging Chris Graves. I know it's not, I mean, it's a cutesy little title there, but that's my Rumble channel. That's my Rumble channel, and I have three different shows on freeworld.fm if I can ever get the technology to cooperate. So I'm excited about those. But
that's going to be great. That's going to be great.
I got a Substack and everything, too, but I got to work on that. And right now I'm putting everything together. It's kind of overwhelming. So I appreciate you asking me that and letting me
tell you. Yeah, absolutely. Go to at C. Graves Mask Guy. Very, very key. And please remember, folks, Digging Chris Graves. That is the Rumble channel. And there's so much information there. And, of course, Chris has such a vast background in researching all sorts of stories that are often covered up by the mainstream press or not investigated by them, and has worked with Don Jeffries numerous times. Don Jeffries, well known for his Hidden Histories books and things like that, and recently Masking the Truth, and just recently put out another book about the JFK assassination. And there is a fourth book coming out in the series for Hidden History, and you're involved in researching on that one too, right, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely. That actually has become very overwhelming for Don, I think, with all the stuff that Peter Sikosh, the better researcher, by the way, and myself have sent him. He had so much stuff that he had to split it up into a 3 and a 4.
I see. So that's how it's working. I got it.
Yeah. So in the fourth one, I know this for a fact because he has told me, a lot of the spree shootings information like Vegas and things like that, and a certain school in Connecticut that will get you banned from certain platforms if you even mention the name. Like, there's a lot of stuff like that that's in there. And we got, in Hidden History 3, I was able to dig up a couple of things on JFK Jr., which became a real passion research thing for me after reading a lot of the stuff that Don wrote in the original Hidden History. And I actually went to Martha's Vineyard during the lockdowns. And yeah. I went around to some of the locations, like the Redgate Farm that Jackie Kennedy used to own, that she left to John Jr. and Caroline in her will. And actually, you could have actually seen John's plane get blown out of the sky from the Redgate Farm. And I say blown out of the sky because there are witnesses to that.
Yeah.
I saw an explosion in the sky, and those witnesses we've been trying to track down for forever, and I don't think we ever will. But there
and
were.
And I know you mentioned he was in touch with the tower, and he was getting ready to land.
Yeah, with a guy named Buddy Wyatt, who is now retired. I won't say where he is now, but yeah, he was in the tower when John Jr. was requesting landing instructions. Mm. So he, you know, and then moments later, he goes spiraling into the ocean, into the drink, you know?
Yeah, absolutely crazy, absolutely crazy. He was a competent pilot. He had been through those sorts of conditions before. And the conditions were clearing when he would come down. They would have been much better for him. So he was totally in the...
The media machine totally, it's when you go back and look at all the, like Pat Shannon was another researcher I actually had on my show Get Mad last year.
Yeah.
Or later, earlier this year. And he was boots on the ground himself, like years before Hidden History even. He was, him and John Quinn, who used to go by the moniker Newshawk in the late 90s, they both did a lot of fantastic reporting on JFK Jr.'s murder. I'm convinced it was murder.
Because and you Bill said Cooper, that... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. This is something I really know a thing or two about. Yeah, I get excited. It's not exciting. That sounds horrible. It's a tragedy.
It gets you charged up. There's so much information and so much wrongness to this, you know? And
big media.
The assassination... Exactly. And so many of the people associated with covering it up and inspiring the assassination, so many terrible people and bad actions here.
They even cut out 6 hours from the archives of WCVB, Channel 5 in Boston. They went up into New Hampshire, and Bill Cooper at the time, the late William Cooper, who was murdered shortly after 9/11.
Yeah.
He was able to have people working for him to go up to that archives and get the original broadcast of WCVB. And that's how people like John Hankey, who made a documentary on the assassination of JFK Jr., was able to get that footage because of people like Bill Cooper getting the uncensored, uncut footage where Todd Bergen, Coast Guard official, talks to Susan Warnick, who I've met a few times.
Yep.
And relays that final message from John Jr. And Chet Curtis brings it up. He's no longer with us either, but they mentioned in that 6 hours of cut footage that there was an explosion in the sky, and that Steve Sprazia, who I've contacted too, and so has Don, he confirmed that there was a Martha's Vineyard Gazette reporter who had sandy hair. He was kind of an older guy. He said he was walking on Philbin Beach that night, July 16, 1999, saw an explosion in the sky, and Martha's Vineyard Gazette to this day will not acknowledge that they ever had such a person working for them.
Well, you know, that live footage, I remember seeing some of that live footage from WCVB that day. Chet Curtis being one of their news anchors, married to Natalie Jacobson. They were both news anchors for decades there, very well known in Boston. And as we mentioned, Matt Taibbi's father, worked at WCVB with them, part of that news team. And that footage was stored in New Hampshire, or they had a copy of it in New Hampshire because
the archives. Yeah.
Exactly. WMUR-TV, Channel 9, which is an ABC affiliate, was owned by the same Hearst Corporation as WCVB in Boston, just off of Route 28 in Needham, Massachusetts. So they got rid of it. They tried to get rid of it at the place where they were broadcasting from Channel 5, but whoever got rid of it forgot about the New Hampshire affiliate up there. So that was very smart to get that footage from New Hampshire.
And people like Susan Warnick, which I don't blame her, I'd be scared too.
Yeah.
And Chet Curtis, when he was still alive, they all claim that They don't know what any researchers are talking about when the footage is out there, because it's in John Hankey's film Dark Legacy 2, which has the same different title on different platforms, The Assassination of John F. Kennedy Jr. It's in there with Susan Warnock talking to Coast Guard spokesperson Todd Bergen, who even John Hankey couldn't find. We were able to find him and Don Jeffries. I was able to connect him, Todd Bergen and Don Jeffries, and that conversation is in the upcoming Hidden History 3.
Oh, that's going to be great, Hidden History 3. Do you have any idea when that's going to be coming out, Chris? It's still in the big phases for working because there's so much, well, I guess.
Right now, Skyhorse is vetting it, I think, and I think there's all kinds of stuff in the background. Like, I talked to Don very, very limited about it because it's really none of my business, so I don't try to pry. But there's a lot of stuff in there, a lot of new stuff on 9/11. We found, I'll tell you, guys, I know we're supposed to be talking about JFK, but I'll tell you, here's a little teaser on that, too. It's not really giving much away because we mentioned it on my 9/11 Anomalies show. This past 9/11 on one of the digging shows, I had Don come on and we talked about some of this stuff again. I was able to find a Logan Airport employee that worked with a girl, because she was female, a 22-year-old girl, that supposedly dealt with Muhammad Atta and the other Flight 11 terrorists. And she ended up committing suicide. And it was never really written about. It was mentioned on Oprah once when they had the guy from Portland, Maine that worked at that airport that they said Muhammad Atta flew out of to Logan.
And then they got to Logan from there. So this woman had a contact with him, had to deal with him somehow at Logan Airport, like to take care of him as a customer, or he was giving her a hassle or something?
Or she saw whoever boarded as Muhammad Atta in the other Flight 11 cronies or whatever you want to call them. Like she saw something that was, and they tried to say on the Oprah show with this gentleman from Portland, Maine at that airport, because he mentioned it on Oprah's show in 2005. He mentioned that there was a young woman that committed suicide that dealt with the people I dealt with earlier in the morning.
Wow. Now, of course, I don't advocate watching Oprah, but it's some sort of anomaly to the narrative that we were given.
Yeah, that there is this gate person that was so distraught. That was the story they were giving. Don and I, we tend to think that, you know, who did she really deal with if it wasn't Muhammad Atta? Could it be one of? There's all kinds of theories that I'm not even going to attempt to speculate on, but. Was she really distraught? I mean, it's very possible. She could have felt like she was somewhat responsible for letting them on the plane or whatever.
Yep.
But it's not really her. It wouldn't have been her fault anyway, regardless, you know. No. But the idea that this older lady that's now retired, she was scared. She was really scared when I connected Don with her, and she wouldn't go on the record or anything. And he said that she was pretty scared.
Wow.
So anyway, that's
Let's backtrack to JFK Jr. for a second, though. Now, is it your opinion, and I think it is likely, and I know we've spoken about this before, is it your opinion that JFK Jr. was assassinated? And if you can, offer us a reason why they would have, whatever powers that be would have gone after him, would have gone after JFK Jr.
Well, the working theory, and I'm not sure where I stand on it. Some people think it's the Bush crowd. Some people think it's the Clinton crowd. I tend to think that there's really no distinction between the two, because we knew that Papa Bush and Poppy Bush or whatever, and Bill Clinton, they were tight knit back in Mena, Arkansas.
Absolutely. I was going to go grab that book on the Bush Clinton stuff by Sean Atwood. I've got it over to my right. It's out of reach, though. Absolutely. We know the Mena Airport, the cocaine stuff from Nicaragua and Central America, the CIA connections there. We know that they were working together very well.
Well, the thing was, Hillary was announcing she was going to be running for the New York Senate seat, right?
Right.
JFK Jr. was telling people around him in his circle that he was thinking about doing just the same.
Right.
But publicly, I think he kind of backed away a little bit. But behind the scenes, apparently, He was a little more determined than that to get that seat. And let's remember, Hillary's a carpetbagger when it comes to that. Yeah. She wasn't from New York, and right. John Jr. was. He right. was always jogging around Central Park and everything. And after his father was murdered and everything, you know, Jackie moved them to New York City and everything, all that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then over to Greece, I think, with Onassis, when she married Onassis, basically to protect her kids, apparently. Like that,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, boy, I can't even, you know, you see what she must have gone through, and it's crazy, you know, and the personal relationship that must have been difficult with JFK in the first place, and then all the other troubles. She must have really been a person who knew how to preserve herself, for goodness sake, self-defense in so many ways. So let's talk about the JFK assassination,
can I just,
Chris.
Can I mention one more thing, one more important thing? When I say the Bush people and the Clinton people, the theory was that somehow Hillary's, the people behind that run, that, you know, puppet Hillary or whatever, possibly could have sabotaged his plane, like causing that explosion in the sky. I mentioned that there were three witnesses, at least, that we were able to identify in the reporting originally.
Yeah.
There was also a weird thing where George W., at the same time, he was on the campaign trail against Al Gore for the presidency in 2000. And John Hankey brought it up in his film, The Assassination of John F. Kennedy Jr. He brought up the fact that W's campaign manager, I think her name was Kathy, I believe. I could be wrong, but he couldn't be found that whole weekend to make a statement because, you know, one ex-president's son, you know, the current candidate, you know, who being an ex-president's son, and they wanted to get word from him. She couldn't find him. And this was one of the most important times during that presidential campaign for him. He was missing. So there are people out there that think that I don't go this far, but I don't shut it off either, because anything's possible, as we could tell in the last few years. It could have been some kind of, and this isn't me saying it, but the idea behind that, if it's the Bush people, which I make no distinction between the two anyway,
right?
It could have been some kind of a blood sacrifice, like, because some people think that Poppy Bush had something to do with JFK's murder.
So, well, you know, it's possible. Maybe there was just a meal plan with the Bin Laden family, or maybe maybe they just had to get together with what was it, John Hinckley Jr. and have lunch. You know, I don't know. It's Scott Hinckley,
yeah, John's brother, and yeah, Osama's brother there with the Carlyle Group.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I cut you off. Sorry.
No. So I want to read. I'm going to read just this little bit here, and sort of touch base again, going back to this article from Future Freedom Foundation that was published years ago, 2013, by Tim Kelly. So go back down here. And so he writes, and it should be mentioned that a U.S. House of Representatives Select Committee concluded in 1978, after a two-year investigation, that JFK was probably a victim of an elaborate conspiracy, not a lone nut. Who could have been part?
And then they did nothing after that.
There's more. Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live.
It's obvious. The unthinkable continues. Most Americans know something very wrong is happening. People in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing, but you know better. That's why self-reliant folks are investing in emergency food storage. You should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $200 on each 3-month food kit you purchase. My Patriot Supply also sells solar generators, gravity-powered water filters, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship that same day and arrive quickly on your doorstep in unmarked boxes. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Time is running out to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News update. There's a push online for a third-party presidential ticket.
There is an online petition urging Senators Mitt Romney of Utah and Joe Manchin of West Virginia to form a bipartisan presidential ticket. The Draft Romney-Manchin Committee initiated the petition, emphasizing the need for leaders who can bridge political extremes. The objective is to encourage the No Labels Convention in Dallas to nominate Romney for president and Manchin for vice president. I'm John Schaefer.
Several pro-Palestinian protesters are in custody after trying to disrupt the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. The New York Daily News reports that some of the protesters wore white jumpsuits with the words ethnic cleansing, colonialism, and militarism printed on them. They jumped the barricades, and it also appeared they had glued their hands to the pavement. The marching bands and floats had to make their way around them as police moved in to make arrests. Skip Kelly, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. We're back with Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live, chatting with our friend Chris Graves from Rumble, and of course, known on Twitter as @CGravesMaskGuy, digging into the assassination of John F. Kennedy. He says, who could have been part of such a conspiracy? Theories abound. Some finger the mafia, while others blame rogue anti-Castro Cubans, or the CIA, or the FBI, or the Pentagon, or Asian drug lords, or eccentric Texas oil barons, or even then Vice President Lyndon Johnson. I think that's got a strong hint of, I think Lyndon Johnson was involved or was aware of it. Others have posited scenarios involving a combination of some or all of these groups. The Kennedy administration had certainly ruffled a lot of feathers in its 1,000 days. Indeed, JFK's apparent turn to peace may have been the reason why he was gunned down. At first glance, JFK was an unlikely candidate for peacenik martyrdom. In 1960, Kennedy campaigned to the right of Richard Nixon, warning of a missile gap, in quotes, that had left the nation vulnerable to a Russian nuclear attack. He entered the White House a committed Cold Warrior, declaring the time to be an, quote, hour of maximum danger, end quote, for freedom. America, he said, would pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty, end quote. a primary beneficiary of the Kennedy administration was the military-industrial complex, as spending on both conventional and nuclear forces increased sharply from 1961 to 1963. However, after clashing with his joint chiefs over a number of issues and witnessing the apparent treachery of the CIA regarding the Bay of Pigs invasion, Kennedy developed a mistrust for his national security managers. The Cuban Missile Crisis, which brought the United States and Soviet Union to the brink of nuclear war, had a profound effect on JFK, and he emerged from it a changed man, determined to end the Cold War peacefully. In June 1963, JFK delivered a speech at American University in which he called for the total abolishment of nuclear weapons. A few months later, his administration signed the Limited Test Ban Treaty with the Soviets. Now, some people wonder whether or not he was really honest with that. I'd love to get your thoughts, Chris. He also began having private correspondences with Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev, which enraged the CIA, and he was seeking a rapprochement with Cuba's dictator Fidel Castro, which further incensed the agency. For perhaps his National Security Action Memorandum 263, calling for the total withdrawal of U.S. troops from Vietnam by the end of 1965, was the final straw of the national security state. And, of course, then we had Lyndon Johnson signing National Security Memorandum 273, reversing that when he got into office. So, Chris, back to you, man. What are your thoughts after hearing that?
Yeah, LBJ was kind of a jerk.
You know? That's for darn sure.
Yeah.
Racist scumbag.
Yeah. And I believe he had his own personal hitman, too. For people.
Yeah, that's know. I've heard that. I've heard that he had some people snuffed out in various ways as he climbed his way up that slippery, oily ladder. And
yeah.
Do you think he could have been involved in this? I think he could have been involved in this. I think he at least knew about it beforehand.
I think he was very, very heavy-handed when it came to the cover-up after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
In terms
okay.
of prior to that, it's very possible he had a lot to gain. He
yeah.
hated the Kennedy brothers, you know, you could tell. And JFK was going to replace him as a VP candidate in 64.
Interesting.
So a lot of people don't know about that either.
Yeah.
But whether that's a motive or not, I mean, that's just as good as anything else. But I'll tell you, man, I really do feel like if JFK had lived, we wouldn't have been in Vietnam, at least in the way that things turned out. 58,000 Americans dead, a million Vietnamese possibly, you know, all the horrific things we've heard of, like Operation Phoenix and everything. So, yeah, he's going to ruffle some feathers when he wants to splinter the same alphabet agency that is trying to compromise him and try to take him down. He wants to splinter them into 1,000 pieces to the wind.
Right.
Or whatever. And the Khrushchev thing, they did have talk backdoor channels because Khrushchev apparently was aware that his military and the people, you know, the war hawks around him, he didn't trust either. So it was like they were both surrounded by vipers, you know, that wanted war, no matter what. So it was like a mirror situation, you know?
Wow. Well, what do you think is the most likely of the scenarios? If you could list off a couple of the scenarios, whether it was CIA mafia, CIA FBI mafia, CIA on its own, mafia on its own. Oswald, I think, just on his own is absurd. Then we've got Arlen Specter with the magic bullet thing being brought in there, introducing the
and Gerald Ford.
Thing.
Gerald Ford and Arlen Specter together.
Yep, and both of them got heavily paid off, and they had their political careers all set if they would just maintain an absolute lie that was so absurd and ridiculous. And then they had that report come out that supposedly bolstered it, which was a ridiculous report, almost 900 pages of nonsense. What do you think is the most likely of those scenarios? Well, I mean, you know, when you think about it, do you go back and forth between a couple, or what do you think?
There's a couple of Texas oilmen, definitely. H.L. Hunt had a lot to gain, and he hated Kennedy, too. As we know, George Bush Sr., if he was involved, I mean, he was right there. I mean, it's impossible to think that he wasn't involved with the agency before 1975.
Well, let's go back to H.L. Hunt for a second. So H.L. Hunt, Texas oil man, what was at stake for H.L. Hunt there, and why would he have wanted Kennedy knocked out?
JFK was going to take away the oil depletion for a lot of the Texas oil guys, you know, the credits, oil depletion credits or whatever. So they had a lot of money at stake there in terms of that. The mafia can't change the parade route. The mafia can't sabotage the media for 60 years to keep,
doing
what they do. The mafia were actually contracted a lot, even during World War II, by the Central Intelligence Organization, or the CIA agency, which was the OSS back in World War II.
Right.
So the mafia could have been involved in terms of the hired hands, you know.
But if the mafia were involved, it's likely that they were being influenced or pushed in certain ways by political figures who either were using them and threatening them with potential government action, or they were going to give them favors, that sort of thing, right?
Well, they were known for having a history like that, back and forth. Like, it's kind of hard to tell with a lot of these situations where one ends and one begins. And the thing was... I mean, Bobby was prosecuting the mafia, and they did have a chip on the shoulder about that. But in terms of all the other stuff, like the cover-up at the Parkland Hospital stuff, like big gaping baseball-sized wound in the back of the skull, like JFK's brain going missing from the National Archives, you know, the mafia can only do so much, so I don't give them that much credence. The Cubans, that makes no sense, because Operation Northwoods was something that JFK nixed, which was basically a blueprint for a 9/11 or even a school shooting type scenario, where people were either there were going to be phantom people dead, and that goes into the hoax realm that we hear about nowadays. They actually had manifests that they were going to use of fake passengers on a plane they were going to blow up and say that's a
quote. Yeah. Right.
And then they also were planning shootings on the streets of Washington and Miami, I believe.
So, yeah, and again, like I said, I think they were going to have a cell phone call from the plane where a guy said, "Let's roll."
Who also happens to be an employee of Oracle, a CIA front, and Larry
Ellison.
I'm going to go into that one, but there's a lot of weird stuff with that too. But
hey, Chris, I know your time is short, so I want to take an opportunity here to go to the Rockfin and the Rumble chats. Had some great comments from people pertaining to other subjects, but drop your comments or thoughts inside Rumble or Rockfin, everybody, because Chris is going to be Chris. Why don't you tell them where you're going to be appearing starting at 8 o'clock tonight?
8 o'clock tonight, I'm going to be with my very, very good friend Franco Mattei.
Angry Tiger.
And I butchered his last name, but that's an addiction episode.
That's going to be great. Yeah. And that's over at the Tiger's Den on Rumble, and people can watch over there and check it out.
Well, on YouTube. He is YouTube for a little while longer. But here's the thing. Same situation as me. His stuff is only on his platform on Rumble, just so people know that. We can't stress it enough. These individual Digging Chris Graves and the Tiger's Den, both on Rumble, that is the only place that our stuff should be.
Very key. Okay.
Tonight, I might be wearing myself thin here, but there will be an episode of my pop culture MTV kind of style Cranium Blender will be on at 10 on Free World, if the technology allows me to.
Oh, I hope so. Freeworld.fm, 10 o'clock. And I love that. The Cranium Blender. It's just...
It's like an old school MTV show that...
Hey, a comment from Harlan Stonewall over at Harlan Stonewall 45 at Rumble says, LBJ looked to have known something. And, I think a lot of people are...
There's a picture of him winking at a Texas congressman on Air Force One, where Jackie is standing next to him with the blood-covered dress, and he's winking and smirking at this guy. It's a pretty infamous
photo. Yes. And I also think that photograph where people say, that it looks sort of like George H.W. Bush outside of that building, and that he might have been apprehended but let go when they found out that he was actually involved in some operation. I think that's him. I think it's him. And I think that there were a lot of strands that were pulled together by people in the military-industrial complex and the CIA to kill Kennedy, because I think he did change his mind. I think he really had an about-face, and I also think that led to his son getting killed, too.
Oh, yeah, because his son, from earlier, his son, by all accounts, people in his inner circle, he would have became president eventually a couple of years later.
Yeah, yeah, and Hillary Clinton could not stand it.
Yeah, oh, yeah, just on his looks alone, in a vanity kind of way.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And like you said, he was a mainstay. He was a fixture in New York. And he wasn't one of these, you know, like super glitzy kind of guys. He started that George magazine. He worked hard at George magazine. Everybody knew him around New York as just, coming as the president's son of Jackie Kennedy Onassis. They said he was a really decent guy.
He wasn't his cousins either. No scandal.
No.
Well, nothing. Like
no, that. No patches there. That's for sure. Yeah. People familiar with patches. Look, I'm going to let you go, Chris, because I know you got to get set up. You're going to be with Angry Tiger starting at 8 o'clock. It's the Addiction Show. It's the Tiger's Den. And I'll get ready to wrap things up as well. I know that everybody is in Rockfin right now, and there's so many people. Yeah.
Can I mention one last crucial thing for people that are really interested in the video anomalies of like the Zapruder film?
Yeah.
The thing that got me really interested in the JFK assassination was the idea that there could have been other films that we don't know about or that other people and researchers have claimed to see over the years. One was a guy named Rich Della Rosa. He talked about it with Jim Fetzer. He's no longer with us, Rich Della Rosa. He talked about seeing another version of the Zapruder film on a college campus back in the early 70s that showed all the stuff that's missing from the existence.
Oh, man.
And not only that, a French investigator talked to the late Jim Mars. His name's William Raymond. He talked about seeing a similar film where you see the Stemmons Freeway sign get shot. You have the limo actually stopping in the film. The real wound that's not this blob thing that looks like it's painted on is shown, and also the turn onto Elm is seen. So there, Rich Della Rosa, it's called The Other Zapruder Film. So it's on YouTube, the interview. So it fascinated me to no end that there could have been another version that only certain people were allowed to see. So
all these points are so important. You talk about the pauses, the change in the roots. As you say, there are only certain forces who could have had the power to do all those things. So we know where the arrows are pointing. And
exactly.
We don't know the actual people, but I think we can make some reasonable guesses.
Lee Harry Oswald, in my opinion.
Yeah. Hey, thank you so much, Chris. And I want to thank Dystopian Dissident as well in Rumble. He contributed $5. He says, thanks for your perspective, Guard. Great show. Day in and day out. Always thought-provoking. And Harlan Stonewall, thanks for what you've done. And Harlan Stonewall says, it's Mr. Graves! Exclamation point. Thanks, Chris.
I love you all.
I love you, man. Thank you. Chris Graves. Remember, Digging Chris Graves, and on Twitter /X, it's at C Graves Mask Guy. Rock on, Chris. Thank you, brother.
Thanks.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
You got it. Well, that was just fantastic. What a great guy. Chris Graves, everybody. Give him massive support. Find out how you can support him, donations, anything like that on Thanksgiving. Boy, am I glad I know Chris. I've gotten to know him and so many other good people over the past year. As we get ready for Thanksgiving, everybody, I just want to mention that. Thank you so much for being here and helping to grow the show. And, we're not even a year old, and I appreciate that. But moreover, just thanks for being kind and in your lives, I hope things are going well and your loved ones are doing well and so on. And I hope you are savoring life. And so we'll be back tomorrow night. I'm going to open things up tomorrow night for Thanksgiving. And we're going to have a great time tomorrow night and just reminiscing about Thanksgiving ideas, things like that. I think we'll be able to do it. I think we'll have dinner early enough. I'll be able to come in. And I've got a couple things planned for you. I will do... I'll do the Thanksgiving stuff later. The stuff I was going to talk about Thanksgiving tonight, I'll do it tomorrow night. And I've got a little something to read. I've got basically three video presentations to show you, one of which I could read, but it is in a video format as well. So some of it is fun, kind of goofy, kind of funny. The other is very serious historical stuff from Governor William Bradford, of course. And thanks for being there, J.B. Morrison in Rockfin, Harry Hart. And thanks also for everyone being in Rumble. Really appreciate it. And as we celebrate Thanksgiving, I hope everybody has a terrific night and that you all have a good time. Think about your favorite dishes for Thanksgiving. One of the most difficult places you had to travel to try to get to a Thanksgiving gathering, but you were really happy you made it. And other ways and things that might give you thanks, right? So we'll talk about those tomorrow night if you can join me. And then I think that'll be great. And if not, we can always talk about it Friday. But if you can't join me, if you're busy with family or that sort of thing, we'll be here 6 o'clock tomorrow night. It'll be great. And I want to thank Chris Graves again. I'll leave you with that little production that I put together once more from New Race. And that'll be our going away video. It's November 22nd, 1963. I put a little extra work in today, make sure I could put that together for you on this 60th anniversary of the killing of that man. So, so here it is, JFK New Race. Thanks for watching, everybody. Have a great, great night. Thank you, and happy Thanksgiving. And celebrate life, and give thanks to God for everything. We'll talk to you tomorrow night. Get those stories ready, one and all. All right? We'll talk to you soon. Good seeing you. Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. You can listen to Liberty Conspiracy Live every Monday through Friday at Rumble and Rockfin, and you can also chat at both of those. Or if you just want to watch or listen, you can do so at my Twitter /X feed. That is at Gard Goldsmith, G-A-R-D Goldsmith. I am Gardner Goldsmith, the creator, you might say, of Liberty Conspiracy. And if you want to get more information, you can also join my Substack. The Substack is Gardner Goldsmith, G-A-R-D-N-E-R Goldsmith. And on Sundays, we release the Sunday News Assembly, which is at least 20 stories pertaining to individual liberty, breaking news, plus contextual information to help peel those political onions out there and carry away long-term lessons for freedom. And if you're so inclined, you can also find my fiction at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Just look up my name. Thanks again for being interested in freedom.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer, can communicate information, and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.